everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 357 of your Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community, your gateway to a mature gaming group of people, a fine group of people, if I might say so myself. On the show today, starting from my right to my left, we have Mr. Hairloss himself, Mark Hannix. Mark Wright. I'm here.
Hello,
for you, Mark.
Greg. Hello, everyone. Yes, I have no hair.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Mark. Mine will go soon enough.
Easier to manage.
It is. Seriously, I'm jealous beyond belief. Trust me. If I thought I could pull bald off, I would do it.
Yeah.
But yes, Mark, awesome. Thanks for making the show.
It's a pleasure.
All right. Now I'm just going to bring you into the bright, cheery mood that you want to be in.
Yeah. I've been a bit grumpy today. I've been dragged around all the shops today.
I hate shopping.
Yeah, me too.
Well, actually, I like shopping when it's shopping for myself, which my wife has rightfully pointed out. I get grumpy when it's not about me.
Right, okay. Is it just me or when a man goes shopping, we go into a shop, we buy something off a shelf, pay for it, and go home? None of this looking for half an hour at one thing and then going to another thing and looking at another thing and taking hours and hours to decide what you want. So, yeah, that's my experience.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you.
I shop like a guy.
Yeah, typically speaking, we have
our
purpose. It's like we know what we're going to the store for. It's that one thing. But there are the individuals out there, who I will not name, that could be my wife, that have a primary agenda, and then there's secondary agendas that you don't know about, you're not told about ahead of time, maybe alluded to, maybe hinted at, and then suddenly, once the plan starts unfolding, you're like, fucked.
Yeah.
That's shopping in
a
nutshell for me.
I map everything out, and I'm like, okay, we start here. This one's next to it. We go there. Then we go there. We just need to get what we need to get and get home.
I like that. And see, I can say all of this right now because my wife is not home right now. If she was home, I would be saying completely the opposite.
I'm just waiting for something to hit me from the back of the head. So I'm waiting for it to throw
something. I thought for a moment I saw a knife coming in behind you. But, All right, well, let's continue on with the introductions.
She's got a bottle around, I better watch it.
somebody not losing her hair, as far as we know, Kim Woods, GamerGirl27.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Good, good. Kim, you are back amongst the living. You've recovered from your illness that we shared in common. Not because one of us gave it to one another, but, you know.
That'd be awkward.
Yes. There's a little bit of distance.
Just a little bit, but no, I no longer sound like a transvestite hooker, so we're all good, you know.
That's quite the description.
I do what I can.
Yeah. You get transvestite hooker. I was going with Barry White for a little while because I was really I was going to be able to pull off Barry White. It was hitting that kind of deep, like raspy ugliness. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you for making the show, Kim. Great to have you back.
Glad to be
and
here.
Last, but certainly not least, Miss Nicole Radowski, who now does have the sickness. She's down with the sickness. Yes. In fact, maybe we should have had that for our intro music, down with the sickness.
Oh, yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yes.
But no, I have the start of the cruddy voice. And
Nicole, why do I feel like I need to give you my credit card number right now?
You don't. Yeah. If you do, I'll tell you what. I will charge you the amount of money that it's going to cost me for the repairs on the truck. Because I added stuff. I figure we're in there. We're cleaning up, doing stuff. Might as well do it all. So, new belt. Well, I don't need a new timing belt because it's a Mercedes engine. But new alternator belt, water pump, the whole shebang while we're in there.
The whole shebang.
Mercedes engine and all about us. We got a fleet of Mercedes. I can fix it for you.
Ship it over to England. It'll be cheap. He'd probably do it for free for you. Mm-hmm. Just the cost of shipping.
I told
just a flight over and flights back.
I know. I was like, I wish that I could actually say, hey, you know, come on over and I pay him in video games.
Pay him in video games. That's I like that. That works. I suppose I'd introduce myself, Murphy's Law, Greg DeLacy, @OC_MurphysLaw on Twitter. And of course, on your screen, if you're watching this, you can see all of our Twitter handles correctly placed with the person. Yeah, I learned. you can follow any one of us or all of us. We will give varying degrees of actual good information from time to time. All right, well, let's talk about video games. That's what we do. Video games, right?
Yay.
Yeah, yay, video games. We've all been playing lots of video games, I'm assuming. Tons?
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right, well, let's get the most important thing out of the way before, and I'm going to go first. Before we get into video game talk, two things I want to talk about. One, Breaking Bad. I know, late to the party, that's me. But I finally finished watching Breaking Bad. Fantastic show. It really does live up to the billing that everybody says. If you haven't seen it before.
For me, it's the best TV series ever. I love it.
I would say one of the best. The funny thing I found myself, I know this is well past spoiler time, so I could probably talk about it openly. But I won't, only to say this. There are two main characters, and at the beginning of the series, I really liked one, and I really did not like the other. And by the end of the show, it had flip-flopped completely.
Yep.
And I really empathized and liked one and could not stand the other one and wanted him to die the death he deserves.
Yeah.
And I will not say whether that happened or not. Breaking Bad. Cannot recommend that enough. Good stuff.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. If you have Netflix, Nicole, it's on
Netflix.
Three
episodes in, and I was like, eh.
Well, you need to give it time. It is worth it.
Everybody says that, and I'm like,
You need to get to the episode where this happens.
Now, say my name.
Say my name. Yeah, that's a good episode. All right, so the other big thing. Starbucks. I wanted to talk about Starbucks.
Yes, please.
Yes, let's talk about Starbucks. So, I'm a bit of a Starbucks junkie. I'm not proud. I go to meetings when I can. it is absolutely an addiction. Nicole, I think you're also a co-sponsor for me.
Yeah. I never quit.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I'm a sponsor when it comes to going to the store.
Right.
Buying her coffee.
So we have a number of Starbucks in our area, and there's one in particular over where I pick up my son from his daycare. And I went in there the other day, and Starbucks has, like, they've broadened what they deliver. I mean, they've got food now. I mean, it's almost like coffee is a secondary thing to what they have inside the store. And so I go into the Starbucks, and I'm like, mochas, sandwiches. What is this I'm seeing on the wall? Beer and wine.
Wait, what?
Yes, beer and wine. The Starbucks over where I picked my son up from daycare is now actually serving beer and wine.
Wow.
Along with everything else. And I thought to myself, this is either a brilliant move or it is a horrible move. And I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. It's like Starbucks is just, I mean, they're really just trying to, like, take the world on. And I kind of like it, though, because there's sometimes when I'm, like, going in for that late night coffee and I'm like, maybe a nightcap, you know, glass of wine or a beer might be a better call. I don't know. But, yeah, Starbucks, beer and wine. Who would have thought? Nicole now is drastically searching for Starbucks with beer and wine near her. I think it's a pilot store. Yeah, it's a pilot store. So I'm imagining they have a few sprinkled around the country to see how they do. But
Austin definitely will have one.
Yeah. If they had margaritas, I really would have been excited, but it was just beer and wine.
I think it was
in the UK, for an establishment to sell alcohol to drink on the premises, you need a special license.
Right.
Is that the case in America?
Same thing in America. Mm-hmm. So
right.
They had to have gotten their beer and wine license.
All right, okay.
But yeah. I will take an espresso and a beer, and maybe we could start mixing the two, you know, beer espresso.
Well, apparently, Bailey's Irish Cream is really nice in coffee.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. As is peppermint schnapps, as is no, it's not nasty.
Nasty.
Uh,
like the sickly sweet is why.
Ah, gotcha. Well, I also am a big fan of like brandy and cider. But like, that would be pretty sweet, yes, together. Hot cider with some brandy. It's good for the cold days. And you should have these kind of drinks in your area, Nicole. Hmm. It gets cold out there. Just saying.
It is cold.
Yes. All right.
And I'm fine.
Yeah, and I'm drinking wine. all right, video games. So I played and finished the Baba Yaga DLC. A little bit shorter than I thought it was going to be. So the way they incorporate it into the game, it almost, the best way to describe it is when you're looking at the map, it becomes new areas or new kind of hubs to go to. And not really, hub is probably not the right way to put it, but yeah, there is a new area that opens up. And the way you get to it is through kind of the main areas you've already been adventuring in.
Yeah.
So I don't want to completely spoil it out for anybody, but I mean, you'll see a beacon, if you will, for the Baba Yaga DLC, and you go to that, and there's a little bit of kind of story that's kind of laid out in terms of how you're going to then get to the actual DLC, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't introduce anything in terms of new weapons or anything like that. It's strictly some new story DLC and some interesting twists in terms of how it unfolds. I enjoyed it. I would have liked it to have been a little bit longer. But all in all, it was good. And I mean, if you're enjoying Tomb Raider, that's, you know, you kind of want that. There were some really good puzzle tomb pieces to this this DLC.
So roughly how long did it take you to do it?
I want to say, I mean, it was a lot. I did it through a lot of stop and starting, but I mean, it's probably a 2 to 3 hour DLC. Crazy long.
It's going to be about a 4 hour, but.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I got to the end much faster than I thought it was going to get. Once I really sat down to seriously play through it, it went through pretty quick. And I think a good 20 minutes of time was me being completely stupid in terms of trying to figure out how to get to the actual cave to get where I needed to go. Because I kept on, for some reason, thinking it was high up. And then I actually bothered to actually look using my vision and realized the cave entrance is actually all the way on the ground. go figure. I've been playing a little Forza 6, prepping up for the next big racing season that's coming up. So I still want to call party foul for me coming in third place in the last league behind Parsnip. There's no real reason for me to call party foul other than the fact that I didn't want to finish behind him. I thought for sure I'd be able to catch him and beat him. And because I missed an entire race day, it totally killed me. And that wasn't my fault.
Still third's good. It's a podium.
No, I know. But it's Parsnip. I wanted to beat him. and then I have been partaking in a couple different betas. The Gigantic beta, which is the new MMO.
I noticed the option to download that. I wondered if a full game had been out.
No, it is not out yet, but the beta is out. And being that you're my brother overseas, you may or may not be able to get into it. I don't know how the betas work with shared. Because Fable Legends, Fable Legends didn't work for me. You were in it, and I couldn't get into it. So, who knows?
Yeah.
And Homefront also. I have dabbled in Homefront, and I think there's a couple other people that might have dabbled in Homefront. Nicole, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we're all like ponying up pre-orders, right?
Not a fucking chance.
The last one was a decent multiplayer, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first Homefront, rather enjoyed. The multiplayer was pretty good. And the single-player story, it wasn't horrible. I think the biggest problem with the single-player story was that it really held your hand. Like, it guided you. It was it guided you too much. Like, there was constantly a follow sign over the guy that you were supposed to be following. And, you know, at some point in time, that can go away. It doesn't need to be there the whole time. The Homefront beta. Well, at least when I played it, it was actually the stress test for the server. And then they have the open beta happening this weekend. And, you know, they have put out a lot of... So, outside of my opinion, the internet has been hammering Homefront, saying that, you know, the game is, you know, coming out very soon, and it does not look all that great, doesn't control all that well, and there's definitely a lot of glitchiness to the beta. And, of course, the Homefront developers, rightfully or wrongfully so, however you want to look at that, they are saying, you know, hey, this is an old build, it'll be much, much better come time for the release. And that may be the case. I cannot say for sure that that's not going to be the case, but what I have played and what I played through like a stress test and what everybody is playing currently is a build that's, you know, they're designing it to try and test the network settings out and see how the game handles in a real world scenario. I can't imagine they're putting out a build that is so far behind in terms of its finish that, you know, they'd want to test on that. I don't know. Call me silly, but I would think they would be looking to test this with a build that's closer to finish. So this way, you know, in terms of performance impact, you know, the machines are able to handle it. And it just, it looks like a dog. It does. I can't say it doesn't.
Ginge Ninja's put in the chat map, it controls really bad as well. Did you get the same feeling from
yes.
it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, mother God, yes.
Yeah, it was like controlling lead balloons. Yeah. Your people don't jump, they don't move, and it was like, my stick is all the way forward, where I aren't I moving? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was definitely some lagginess. You know, to set the premise up for Homefront, I mean, it's a single-player or co-op player experience. So there's not a PvP multiplayer experience anymore. It is either PV environment or single-player only. And that actually excited me because especially fresh off the Division beta, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I can get behind player versus environment. I have no problem with that. But the way they've designed it, you know, you have a squad of four that you get into it with, and you go out, and I was matched up with randoms, and I think, Nicole, you had this very same issue. So you're out with randoms, and if you get taken out, your character basically is down and needs to be revived. But the way that the game is designed, in the co-op especially, is there's different missions that you're going off and you're doing. And so they're kind of oftentimes... spread out a little bit in terms of the different checkpoints that you need to go to and you know, throw a switch or you know, get to an ammo crate, something like that. And so at one point in our mission, we all were getting onto motorbikes. And first of all, the motorbikes handle like shit. I mean, it was so difficult to handle, and I was constantly finding myself running into just rubble that I didn't think would hang me up, but it was hanging up the motorbike. And so eventually I got completely just jacked up into a corner that I couldn't get out of. I couldn't back up the bike in time. The enemies killed me, so I'm downed, and I just see all of the little, you know, name icons for my teammates just keep on going. And once I died, there wasn't a... correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Nicole or anybody else, but I never saw a respawn option. It was just
never.
Like, you're fucked. You're sitting there, grayed out screen, you're watching basically the ground, or you can go into, I think, a spectator mode. I think that was an option, but I could be wrong. But either way, it was just like, so if they don't come back and get you, you're screwed. And when you're playing with randoms, they're not coming back for you. They just kept going, and it really, you know, that on top of the control issues, on top of it just not looking fantastic. About the only thing that looked good in that game was fire. Actually looked halfway decent, but it looked like a kind of, and I don't even want to say a first generation PS4 or Xbox One game. It looked like maybe a last gen game. In terms of the graphic fidelity, it just and it looked nothing like what we saw from E3. I mean, the E3 demo that they put out there and they showed everybody, that thing looked polished. It looked fantastic. And this looked like a, I mean, it just, I mean, you want to talk about downgrades. This was the epitome of like, whoa, what happened? And I think this is also just a testament to the unfortunate development cycle this game has gone through. I'm guessing they're really hoping that they can capitalize on a downtime in the market, because when they're releasing, there's not a lot of other games going out. And so they're hoping they might be able to do the Dying Light thing of last year, which is, you know, release out at a time where nobody else has games out, and so everybody will just pick it up because they want something new.
They're going to do some dying.
Yes.
There will be no light.
Yeah. I don't predict a lot of light.
But you had said somewhere, Twitter, I think, if you're going to put out a beta, do your best effort.
Right.
Like, don't give a shit, because I look at that and I'm like, okay, I played it just like you played it. I hated the controls. I hated, you and I were pretty much on par in our conversation on what we disliked on this game. So if you're going to give me a beta, you're going to give me your best effort, because the other beta that we did was freaking phenomenal. And this is like total shit, dog shit on fire.
Well, so, okay. I'm going to do a little defense of Homefront, which is, in reality, a beta, or especially an alpha test, you know, that is going to be rough. It's not going to be completely polished. However, I mean, that's the truest sense of a beta, right? That's the way it's always supposed to have been.
Yeah, playable.
Right. But betas now, and this is why I said what I said on Twitter, it's betas now are being used far less as actual beta testing and far more for marketing purposes. You know, they're putting this out as exclusive on, you know, launching on Xbox One first for a couple of days, and then it's going to go to the PS4. So, I mean, it has this air of something special. Mm-hmm. So if that's the way you're going to use a beta, then you 100% should be putting something out that really shows off how good the game is. Because, I mean, it really is a demo. It's a demo of your game. It's a marketing tool to get people to want to play it. So when I hear the developers of this game saying, oh, well, this beta isn't really the final build and we're going to have something better later on, that's when I start to say, well, no, because you're marketing this like it's something special, like this is, you know, something to really look forward to. So if I'm going to look forward to it, I expect a polished experience. And The Division got that. They brought forward a game that had a very polished feel to it. It still had glitches to it. It still wasn't perfect, but they put forward something that, to me, it sold me on the game, on top of it probably establishing and doing some of the things that they were looking for, which was finding glitches and being able to kind of, you know, bug test the game. So when Homefront comes out and it's this janky, it's this unpolished, yeah.
So when is the release date for Homefront? Because I always get worried when a beta comes out really close to the release window. And if it's that janky and the release window's close, they ain't going to fix that shit.
No. And so,
wasn't it March?
It's either March or May. And it may be May.
I thought it was March 11th.
Well, that's a worry then. That is a worry. Because like with Destiny, the alpha was 6 months before release and the beta was about 3 months before release. So I think Destiny got it right. But if that's so bad, as you're saying, and it's coming out next month, possibly.
Right.
That ain't looking good for that game.
Yeah, it just, you know, to me, it is not a smart play on their part. And maybe they thought this was going to present better. I don't know. Maybe they really didn't think it would go over this poorly. But to me, this is absolutely one of those times where I just say to anybody and everybody who's talking about this game, buyer beware. You know, there's enough opinions out there being put out there now for previews, that kind of thing, that you know what you're getting into at this point. Gigantic Beta, I can talk a little bit about that, only from the standpoint of I played very little of it. It's a very stylized game, and that's actually one of the things I really like about it. It has that cell shaded kind of look to it in terms of the graphics to the game.
The presentation of it.
Yeah, the presentation. Thank you, Mark. Words, they don't sometimes work. you know, it is.
Is this a MOBA?
It is a MOBA. It's kind of like Smite.
That put me off when I saw it.
Yeah, and so I'm not the biggest MOBA fan. So I mean, I respectfully, I'm not. I'm going to hold back any real judgment on this game, other than I was very pleased with what I saw, and it has a very different feel in terms of the characters and the vibe of it. There's a lot to that game, though. It is way more complex than I thought it was going to be in terms of different powers and how you utilize the powers, and you also use your I can't think of the name. I'll call it a Titan for lack of a better way to put it. But you have these giant creatures that are like a kind of like demigod creature that you can call in basically to fight for you as you're pressing forward. So it's interesting. I'm definitely looking forward to spending a little more time with it. And I don't know the actual release date, but I did hear some rumblings that the actual developer was having some problems. So I don't know kind of where the game is sitting right now in terms of if it's going to have legs or is it even going to get a full final release. I mean, it's kind of in that perilous state right now. All right. I see like all kinds of smiles going on here. What's going on?
We've got Womble in the chat giving some absolutely awful chat appliance for Valentine's Day. Absolutely awful. Do I hear some, Greg?
I would love to, yes.
Do you think these would work on a woman? Where are we? I just changed my name to Microsoft. Can I crash at your place tonight?
That might work.
Tumbleweed, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, not really. Okay, what else? Give me another one.
If you were a Transformer, you'd be Optimus Fine.
Now that... I would bring that. I would totally do that in a bar. Absolutely.
And he's also put, if you were a booger, I'd pick you first.
Okay.
Yeah. That works.
Maybe after a couple shots, that might work. It might get a giggle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have taken up enough time. Let us turn to Nicole, since you just got comfortable, laid back, and all that good stuff. I figured I'd pick on you. You're muted.
And you're muted.
And you're muted.
Okay, I'm yelling at children. I was laughing so hard that I had to myself, because those are just god-awful.
They're awful. Pretty horrible.
Yeah. The appendix one, that was the worst.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, you already know my feelings on Homefront. It's not one I will ever buy. Played a little bit of Destiny.
Can I just stop you, Nicole? I've got a special thing for you for Destiny, and Womble's going to love it.
That is horrible.
You want to know how horrible this has gotten? Up to me the other
Womble.
My
you
son.
Send the money by PayPal if you want.
Yeah. My son comes up and he's like, "Mommy, I have your favorite song." And I'm thinking, "Oh, Adele."
Right. No.
It's that song.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just looked at him and he started laughing maniacally.
That's when you invoke the power of grounding. You are grounded. All right.
Oh, God.
Frocus, grasshopper. Frocus.
I are frocusing. Yes. Destiny. So I didn't know that they had done some little updatey thing for Valentine's, which is really all adorable and cute and all that. And so Ginge and I went on there and somebody is going to do that stupid couples thing with me, because they tweeted out that you can get a ghost that's 320 light. You get a chocolate one or a crimson one for doing the crimson doubles thing. So chocolate. I don't care which one of these people I have to drag with me. I actually thought about texting you, Greg.
Nothing says I love you like shooting you in the face.
I actually did a few rounds of these crimson doubles with my son. I mean, son's really good at PvP, but we got absolutely decimated. It's really hard with just two on two. if you get up against some good people who play it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got
I don't ever want to be against TAC in the league. I used to be in a Halo clan with them.
No.
And he showed a video on Facebook. I'm like, no, I don't ever want to be against you people. Ever. But, so, played Destiny. Well, we play it all the time.
Right.
And Jinjin also played some Blops 3 with the bots. So, I didn't really do a lot this week. I was at work, like, every day dealing with children throwing up on desks and developing this podcast virus.
I would like to think of it as a Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Cheers. Yeah, but that's, like, it's not
much.
For the
record, I was feeling just kind of crappy, and then I drank the night before, and then I went into, like, the deep end. It was the worst idea I ever had. I'm not kidding.
I am doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. I hope tomorrow you don't wake up and feel like complete ass.
If I do, I'm calling you.
Fair enough, and I will tell you, I told you so.
And Womp really needs to stop with these. These are god awful.
Oh my god, right? Yeah. Oh, dear Lord.
He's just put a GG. I wish you were my pinky toe so I could bang you on all my furniture. That's quite good.
That's good.
This is
really not want to
beat the crap out of him.
Oh, that is good. All right. Well, Kim,
yes.
Why don't we move on to you then?
Please.
Well, speaking of banging, I reckon. I played a little Witcher 3. I finally got to meet old Kara. With all her little horny rabbits and, I don't know, were they deer or whatever the hell they were. Yeah, I was sitting there. We were you know, talking there outside of her bathtub and whatever. And it goes to a cutscene where you're at the bottom of the stairs and all of a sudden I have to look over and there's these two rabbits and they're just banging the shit out of each other. And I'm thinking, wait. So, anyway, I've played a little of that. Like I said, I haven't got far. We're supposed to go meet an elf. So, apparently he's important or something. Yeah, an elf outside of a cave, and yeah.
Elves outside of caves are trouble.
All right.
Yes.
So I've been doing a little of that. I've been playing a little Diablo 3, of course, so I think
I like the way you said that, Diablo 3.
Diablo 3, yeah.
Diablo.
A little Diablo, yeah. I think I'm ready for Act 3. There's a lot of threes going on, if you haven't noticed.
Yes.
So, I don't know. It's going well. Like I said, it seems to be my nephew's favorite game so far. He likes to go watch Aunt Kim play fight bad guys. That's what he calls it.
Excuse me. You know. Sorry.
No, it's all right. So
Diablo 3. I know. I could have got to the mute button. I could have actually spared at least the Twitch listeners from that. But I just said fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. What the hell?
Hear my congestion. Yes.
That's right. We're sharing the crud.
Everybody in Twitch just got sick.
Yeah.
So Diablo 3. And what's this other game you were partaking in?
I have, because I've got the EA access thing, I have a little trial for Unravel. So I've been playing a little Unravel. I think I've played a couple hours so far, because, you know, they only give you, what is it, 10 or something.
They only you 10. It's like half the game, but, you know, no big deal.
Yeah. 10 hours. I'm playing it sparingly. You know, I'm
the
playing
first two levels. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I sent Bongo an Unravel Valentine's card on Twitter.
It's a cute little game.
I've been playing this as well, yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous, isn't it?
It really is. It's pretty nice.
Either of you think you might want to pick up the game?
Is it that good? Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if, you know, I might wait for it to go on sale, but, you know, I might.
Okay.
No.
But it's not a full price AAA game anyway, is it?
Is it 30?
Quite reasonably priced, apparently.
Yeah, it's only $20. So
it's only 20.
It's not really bad.
Even better.
So,
the price is going down as we speak.
Yeah. So I don't know. I like it. Like I said, I've only played a couple hours though, but it's kept me wanting to come back. So I guess that's a good sign.
So let me ask you. In terms of Unravel, it is a side-scrolling platformer game, or you know, are there like puzzles to it as well, or is it just strictly platforming?
Yeah, there's. I guess you would call them puzzles because in one spot you've got to drag apples across to a spot where there's a was it a fountain or something? In order to get across the fountain, you have to drag all these. Drag the apples across to get across. Otherwise, your little, Yarny drowns. So I found that out twice.
But to get the apples in the well, you have to use your yarn to tie to certain points to make a ramp for the apples. So you use your yarn quite a lot in it. It's quite unique how it works.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can run out of yarn. You have to collect more yarn to carry on. Really like it.
How does Yarny drown? He's yarn. It's not like he has lungs.
He does.
I presume he gets that wet and soggy because of all the wool. He'll just get too heavy and he'll sink to the bottom and he can't get out again. So it doesn't drown. He's just down there for eternity then.
Gotcha. Well, good recovery, Mark.
Mold,
that's good.
You know.
That was good. Yeah. All right, yeah, so Unravel.
I'm good.
All right, Mark. Why don't we talk about? We're done talking about the platform puzzler. That was just for Fraser, by the way.
Why I jump in and cover Unravel there. But a bit more Assassin's Creed Syndicate on the PS4. Because I'm trying to get through these big games because I've got so many games I want to play, but I don't want to keep starting games and never finish other ones.
Welcome to my world, Mark. Welcome to my world. It's like, oh, look, shiny. Shiny.
That's my problem.
I know I've got Metal Gear Solid on the PS4 to start. I've got Wolfenstein, thanks to Greg, to start. So Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I've actually come across a part of it what has really pissed me off.
Oh, really?
I've been loving the game, but it's got to a point now where I hate a certain game mechanic, and that is using the horse and carriages.
Can't you fast travel? So you can avoid them, right?
Some missions require you to use a horse and carriage. One of them are the side missions to clear the areas of the Blighters, which is a rival gang. So you can dominate that area. And some of them are like kidnap missions where you have to kidnap the gang leader and you have to bundle them in the back of a carriage and then drive away, get away from them so you're not wanted and being chased. And then you can dispose of them that way. They have a ram mechanic. So you'll be going along in your horse and carriage.
I also
and you press,
have a ram mechanic.
You press a square.
Valentine's Day,
you press the square button and your carriage will either slam to the left or to the
right,
which is a bit ludicrous in itself.
It's totally realistic, Mark. This is factual. Enemy giant crabs.
But you'd imagine in that set early 18 or whatever it was, I don't know, that's 19th century, there wouldn't be much traffic on the road, would there? No, it's like frigging Clapham Junction, man. It's crazy. You're just crashing all the time, and it's so horrible to control. So, it's pissing me off.
Okay.
And these stupid kidnap missions as well. The amount of times I've pressed the wrong button and just fucking turn around and assassinated him by accident.
Oops.
Which is still... You still get your bounty. You still got to deliver the dead body, but you don't get as much money or XP.
Okay. Well, I actually kind of like the fact that they don't penalize you for killing the guy. You still get to deliver the dead body, so it's like, better than nothing.
Arrive, so.
But that is a problem if literally it is just turning around and one button press and you're killing the dude. That would kind of anger me. If you think about it... how many movies have you ever seen where the guy turns around with the gun and goes to wave it and shoots the guy accidentally kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's a very famous
guy
movie,
in the
Pulp Fiction.
Of the calves.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not loaded. Bam. Anyway. All right.
So the other game has been Fallout 4 on the Xbox One. I've been playing quite a lot of that. I've wrapped up a few more missions. I think they've just been side missions, but they've been quite long ones. Did the Silver Shroud mission, which was quite fun. It's like a 60s comic book hero type thing where you take on this role as a Silver Shroud, and that was quite fun.
So I want to...
Defeat...
I'm going to throw a question out to you, and this is just because I was thinking about Fallout 4 and Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and every game, practically, this past, I don't know, 6-7 months of this, you know, last year, it seems like every game release out there has ungodly long single player. I mean, The Witcher 3, yeah. Fallout 4, Metal Gear Solid 5,
Mad Max,
there was Tomb Raider. I mean, not ungodly long, but they're all long. And so it's just like piling on top of one another. And it's, I mean, I keep on looking at these games and like Rebel Galaxy. I'm like, oh, I should get back in. Fuck, I don't know when I'm ever finished that game. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I like them long, so. But I'm talking single player games.
Yeah.
Seriously. I don't care that it's Valentine's. I don't care. Carewombles being a shit on the chat. Look at shit on the chat.
I would like to think of him as being just charismatic.
Yeah. I do need to give a big shout out and thank you to Chinny, because a few episodes ago on the Veteran Gamers podcast, he mentioned how he defeated one of these big legendary dudes called Swan. In an area, I can't remember the area now, there's like a bit of a pond area, and there's this massive super mutant called Swan, and he is really, really tough.
Balls hard.
But there is a little trick to it. There's like a subway entrance, and if you go in there, he can't fit in there, so you just stand back, and just blast away your rocket launcher or whatever. So yeah, I defeated that guy.
There's
a nice...
There is a joke to be made about not being able to fit into the... Yeah. You know, speaking of Chinny, by the way, I don't know if you've heard the news.
I just unloaded my missile onto him. Sorry?
Did you hear? I have not actually listened to the Veteran Gamer's latest episode, but apparently Chinny has gone PC gaming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm halfway through the new episode, yeah.
He is admitting to Apple inferiority. That's what's going on there. Did you hear that, Mark?
No.
It's only you. You are next. You are the next domino to fall. All right. So Fallout 4, it's going well.
Yeah. So just plowing through it. Uncovered quite a bit of his story now. I don't want to spoil anything, but I've done the bit with a memory den where you sort of like look back at how what happened.
Just spoil because I'm like, there's a memory den?
That's not a spoiler. I haven't told you what the memories were, so yeah, that was quite interesting. So yeah, it's good.
All right, cool.
Enjoying it.
Excellent. All right, well, let's plow forward. All the innuendos that we can.
Oh, you've been playing Farming Simulator?
No. I think I would get behind Farming Simulator. I really do. I played that.
I've got it on the 360, and I quite enjoyed it, but I cannot pay £40 for that on the Xbox One.
No.
And even when it went on sale recently, I couldn't buy it. I missed that, Nicole.
Yeah, just don't.
No, Kim got it. We're good.
Walk away, Mark. Just keep walking. All right, let's talk about some news. There was some news that happened this past week. Some big news, some little news. So probably one of the biggest pieces of news that happened actually literally just like 2 days ago. So Quantum Break, out of nowhere, announces day and date release of the PC version of Quantum Break, along with the Xbox One version. On top of that, Microsoft announced that if you pre-order, and get this right, you pre-order the Xbox One version, you will get a digital download code for the Windows 10 PC version, as well as you'll get a copy of Alan Wake, the original backwards compatibility version from the 360, plus all the DLC. So it's quite a good deal, but this, like, people are freaking out. A lot of console fanboys were angered the fact that they didn't have an exclusive, you know, that somebody else, and Phil Spencer actually put out one of the best replies I've seen. So a person said he canceled.
Let me say, fuck you.
Well, no, a person, in essence, a person said he canceled his pre-order.
Deal with it.
Well, yeah, he said he canceled his pre-order because the game was no longer exclusive to the Xbox One console. And Phil replied, so you're canceling a pre-order on a game you wanted to play because somebody else is going to be able to play the game. And that summed it up in a nutshell. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is actually a very smart strategy for Microsoft because, one, they're doing these the PC releases. They're going to be doing this with more of their exclusive titles. So this is not going to be the first. I wouldn't be shocked if Gears did the same thing. I wouldn't be shocked if ReCore, you know, pretty much any exclusive game they have moving forward, I think they're going to not only make an Xbox One version, but a Windows 10 PC version as well.
And technically, it's still a Microsoft exclusive
right.
if it's a Windows 10 version.
Right. Well, so, and PC gamers mm-hmm. are like, oh, well, I don't have to buy an Xbox One now. No, but you do have to have Windows 10 operating system because it is a Windows 10 only. You know, you need to have Windows 10. You're not going to be able to run it with Windows 7 nor Windows 8, so you have to have that upgrade. So this is, I think, an effort for them to push gamers into the Windows 10 ecosystem. Whether it's through Xbox One, because let's face it, Xbox One is a Windows 10 device, or PC. So, I don't know. I look at this as a huge positive for gaming, in a nutshell. It's tying together the consoles and the PC and trying to, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, the Dennis Dyack, one console, one future. I'm all for that. I would much rather have games be universally compatible on any kind of hardware device out there. And it just, you know, depending on what the specs of the hardware you have means it's going to run a certain way. Who cares? You know, that's the way it is on PC right now. Depending on your graphics card, you're going to be able to do certain things.
I know you got quite excited with this news because you text me straight away. Said, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this?
Yeah, I was very excited for it. I think it was a very smart move.
Yeah. I think this is one we're going to have to pick up, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I think once you start seeing videos of it, because all the footage out right now is the Xbox One version, and it looks phenomenal. And so, I mean, you know, obviously the PC version, depending on the specs of your PC, could look fantastic, even more so. But anyway, so there's that. January NPDs came out. Not a lot of info came out of this. You know, we know the PS4 was the top-selling hardware for January. Not shocking. I mean, PS4 has been on a tear this year, or years, ever since it really launched. But some interesting notes from it. Hardware was down 15% year-over-year. Retail game sales were down 10% year-over-year. And I think that might really be, if you think about January, there wasn't any big game release that came out in January. We didn't have a Dying Light. We didn't have that, holy crap, this game came out of nowhere game. So it was all just older games. The telling thing was looking at the top 10 games. So I'll go through them real fast, 10 to 1. FIFA 16 at 10. Lego Marvel Avengers at number 9. I think that was the lone new game that came out. Madden NFL 16 at 8. Tom Clancy Rainbow Six at 7. Minecraft at 6. Fallout 5.
Still there, Minecraft.
Fallout 4 at 5. Star Wars Battlefront at 4. NBA 2K16 at 3. And here's the killer one to me.
Yeah, wow.
Grand Theft Auto 5 at number 2. This game came out, what, 2-3 years ago? And it's still, you know, the only game to beat it was Call of Duty Black Ops 3. That's amazing to me. You know, and it's kind of in that Minecraft territory at this point. It just keeps showing up on the top tens all the time.
Now, do these include digital sales? Because I know Grand Theft Auto V has been on sale quite recently on Xbox One.
No, it does not.
And I think on PS4.
I don't believe this is retail only.
Right.
They're that's still not getting digital.
Amazing, though,
and it doesn't also include bundles. So that's one area where it gets a little fuzzy, where bundled software never gets included in these numbers. You know, it's always interesting to kind of see the health of the industry and where it's at. Not that NPD, I think, is becoming increasingly more irrelevant because they're not including digital. If they can get the publishers and developers to include digital sales, I think they will get back to being relevant. But they're really now only giving us about 2/3 of the puzzle.
I would love to see digital sales numbers.
Yeah, I think it would really make it a very interesting. I mean, you know, it's such an interesting story to see how it's unfolding. Mad Cats, this is a sad story coming out of this. So Mad Cats is cutting basically a third of the staff from the Rock Band 4 developer. And they're just actually cutting a third of their staff across the board, I guess. And this basically is on the heels of Rock Band 4 really failing. What was interesting, not actually Kim's camera, just doing this dip thing was very interesting. The night before they released their earnings, three key executives, the CEO, the chairman, and the vice president of business affairs all resigned.
Wow.
That's never a good sign. And now they're...
But did they really expect games like Rock Band and the Guitar Hero they brought out? Obviously, it's a different developer.
I think
did they expect them to do that well?
I think they absolutely did. I think they thought this was going to usher back in a new generation of plastic hardware that people were going to want to get back into that. But the game itself didn't do super well. It didn't... it didn't inspire people. And even it had backwards compatibility.
I've heard Rock Band 4's better than Guitar Hero as well. I've heard Guitar Hero's absolutely terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been a big music game person myself, so...
They're all right.
They have
the one I've got is... I've got two, actually. I've got Rock Band Beatles, which I bought secondhand from... an old member, I don't know if he's still around now, Beddy Bear. Remember Beddy Bear? We used to race with Greg.
Yeah,
I bought Rock Band Beatles off him with a guitar, so that's good. And I got Lego Rock Band, which is cool. I like that. Those are the only two I've got.
All right, okay.
I've still got them.
If you've been thinking about Oculus Rift, there's some news about... being able to pre-order Rift-ready PCs as well as Rift bundles starting February 16th. I thought this actually was kind of a smart move. Start putting out some new PC bundles and PCs that are going to be labeled Rift-ready. So what you're buying off the shelf is going to work with Oculus Rift. It's not going to need any tweaking. It's not going to need additional RAM. It'll work. Pricing is obviously steep. The PCs are starting at, I think it's $949. And it was a little weird, but so they're giving a discount to people that have already pre-ordered Oculus Rift, but now need to get PCs. So there's like a coupon that you can basically use towards one of these Rift-ready PCs. So basically just about $1,000 is going to get you in the door for a Rift-ready PC. But they also have a bundle that comes with not just the PC, but it comes with Oculus Rift. It comes with an Xbox One controller, and that's starting right around $1,500. I don't know. You think about
a big price of entry, isn't it?
It is a big price of entry, but if you think about what they've been saying spec-wise for these machines, it's actually not that bad, all said and done. Factoring in the price of the Rift, which is $600, you're right around that $900 range for a really capable PC.
This is where Sony could really pull a fast one here. If they launch the PlayStation VR at $300-$400, same as a console, you can buy the full setup for half of that price.
Yeah.
PS4 and the VR for like $700-$800. They'd be onto a bit of a winner there, really, wouldn't they?
I mean, heck, if you look at it...
Depends if he gets the support.
You look at it this way, though. I mean, they don't even need to launch the Oculus... The PSVR, they could probably keep it at $500 and still the full package is way less than what Rift is going to cost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that we want them to, obviously everybody, we want cheaper prices. Yeah. I get that. But I still think they're going to come somewhere between $400 to $500 for the PSVR. Yeah. Titanfall 2 is going to have a single player campaign. We excited?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoy Titanfall, so to have a proper dedicated single player campaign, I'm looking forward to that.
So my take on
it, I'll bitch about it.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know that I care about the single player campaign. I know. So,
but you complained there wasn't one in the last one.
No, my biggest complaint with the last one, it wasn't so much the lack of single player; it was the lack of. For lack of a better way to put it, they didn't Destiny Titanfall 2. Titanfall 1. Titanfall 1 absolutely needed And same with Evolve. Both games needed to have a customization system and an upgrade system that was like Destiny, that you constantly could get new gear. You could constantly, you know, upgrade your character. You could constantly do things to, you know, that would keep you engaged in playing the game. The problem with Titanfall was there was a very limited amount of weapons. There was only a few customizations to each weapon. And the Titans themselves, there were three Titans, and there wasn't really that much variance to them. So once you kind of maxed all that stuff out, it's kind of, well, what do I do? Well, you can prestige. I don't fucking care about prestiging. Who cares?
I quite like that. Prestige.
Prestiging to me is one of the most ridiculous pellet systems out there. Because it's like, you've reached a cap, a level cap, and now we're just going to reset you to zero. We're going to take away everything you've earned, and now you have to re-earn it all again. It's like, let me just kick you in the nuts, and you're going to be happy about it.
I like the limited number of weapons because you unlocked them fairly quickly, and there wasn't this big difference between like a low level character and a high level character.
Right.
Like in a lot of the Call of Duties, there's like 50 odd levels.
Oh yeah.
And to get the best weapons, you've got to be really high. So if you haven't got them weapons, you've got no chance. I found Titanfall, even if as a level one character, you could sort of like hold your own.
Yeah, but see, to
that's
me,
that's what I liked about it.
And I would agree with you, Mark, in that they were good about balance in that game. But
yeah, that's the word, balance. Yeah,
but
you can have like 10 different kind of machine guns, and they can all basically have the same stat line or similar stat line. Just aesthetically, they're different. So you're going to kind of like, oh, I got the new one. Oh, I got the new one. That's what they were missing, in my opinion. I felt like they didn't have that collectible piece to it.
But just to go on what you've just said there is, why have 10 weapons that all do the same thing when you can just have one?
Thank you.
Because they look different, and you like collecting it. You could say, I have all 10.
Maybe a skin for it. Would
Weapon skins. Weapon skins, absolutely.
That's what you do with Gears. You have the different skins. Yeah. And it was funny because we'd do a multiplayer game, and we all knew whose gun was what by the skin. Don't pick that up. That's so-and-so's. Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, I would pick yours up all the time, but...
But that's you.
Yeah,
asshole.
I am.
And we love you anyway.
But, you know, they can have different skins. They can have different variants, even though the stat lines are the same or similar. So, you know, it's not giving an advantage one way or the other, or a major advantage one way or the other. But if you have a lot of variations, it makes the game feel different, and you're constantly going to have something to strive for. And that's, I think, what really Titanfall missed, because you hit that cap. You weren't really striving for anything after that. And that's why a lot of players fell off, because they wanted that. I mean, Destiny proved people want to be pellet-fed loot.
Yeah.
I love loot games. I love loot games. Yeah. I've resisted Destiny probably at my own detriment. I probably would love Destiny because I love loot. I love Diablo 3 because of loot. I love getting the next big, shiny, badass axe. And that's what Titanfall needs. Mm. I wanted other Titans. You know? Three Titans, okay, make them different. Or make them have different arms, different legs, different heads. You know?
That would have been fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want a tattoo on my Titan. Really wanted a tattoo on my Titan. Anyway.
It's a tramp stamp, too.
Tramp stamp. I would love a tramp stamp on my Titan. Yes! Aim here.
make love, not war.
All right, last little bit of news. And Mark, you firsthand experienced this piece of news. Red Dead Redemption appeared for all of a few hours on backwards compatibility. And then it vanished. So they pulled it back off. Apparently, it was put up by mistake. But it really seems like they are going to be putting this out at some point, because they had a full-on, like, dedicated store page to it as well.
Yeah.
You experienced it too with your Hexic.
Well, yeah, that killed me. So Mark downloads the game. Mark gets Red Dead Redemption, but he can't get it to update. Have you tried going offline with it yet, Mark?
I haven't yet. I wanted to do it before tonight as well, so I could feed back on it, but I just haven't had time yet.
Supposedly, if you take your console offline, if you go offline, it won't do the update.
No, and the update is there purposely so you can't play it because right. the update does not exist. So that's what we've done to that.
Right. And what killed me...
I am going to try it offline. I'm going to disconnect it from the internet and try it.
Yeah. And so...
I will feedback.
Being your brother from over here, I was like, okay, I'll jump on this. I'll get Red Dead Redemption. I download it. I'm all excited. It downloads like really fast too. I was like, holy crap, that did not take any time at all. So I started up and suddenly it's Hexic HD. I'm like, what?
And, disappointment.
You know, yeah, major disappointment. So they pulled a fast one on me as well. But anyway, so something to look forward to. I'm excited that it's coming and, you know.
Not just
Cowboys. Damn well better.
They're damn well yes. better. Yes.
Yes, enough.
All right.
Not just breathing.
I know you guys are excited for this next portion of the podcast. Trivia. Woo. Podcast trivia. So, Mark, you right now yep. are tied with Fraser. 3 points apiece, by the mm-hmm. way. Incorrectly stated yep. last week of two.
I thought I had yeah. three last yes. week, yeah.
So you both have 3 points.
Sack bongo.
Yeah. Nicole, you are sitting in at second right now at 2 points. And then
oh, really?
There is a tie with Kim and, believe it or not, Gary Lever at 1 point apiece. I'm going to make a prediction now that Gary's not going to win. But if Gary remains if Gary remains tied with you, Kim, this is an indictment against you. all right. So that said, we know how trivia works ourselves. But for the audience, I'm going to be asking two multiple choice questions to everybody on the panel here. And you basically have four multiple choice answers. You will basically give me your answers before I give the final answer. And then, of course, at the end of the season, which the season is going to end in June, right in time for E3, we will crown a Season 1 winner. And there's going to be a special prize for one of you lucky podcasters. And then there'll be Season 2.
Season pass.
I would love to do that. I should just give you a season pass to the Overseas Connection, and you would hate me. All right, here we go. First question. What is the name of Sonic the Hedgehog's sidekick? Name of Sonic the Hedgehog's sidekick. Is it A, Knuckles, B, Ooh. Amy, C, Foxy, or D, Tails? What is Sonic the Hedgehog's sidekick's name? Knuckles, Amy, Foxy, or Tails? Let's go ahead and get our answers. You can just actually tell me at this point. So, Nicole, you are saying Tails. Kim, you're saying Tails. Mark, you said Knuckles.
Tails! When you said Knuckles, I know it was a Sonic and Knuckles game.
Oh, no, yes. Yeah. So, funny. Tails for all three of you, and you would all three be correct. It is, in fact, Tails. So, well done. A point for each of you. All right. Next question. How many different platforms has Castlevania Symphony of the Night been released on? Now, there's a note. The Tiger handheld version does not count in this question. All right.
What?
That's good
to know.
There you
what?
Go. So how many different platforms has Castlevania Symphony of the Night been released on? Is it A, 4, B, 6, C, 8, or D, 10? And remember that uber popular Tiger handheld version does not count.
Uber popular.
Right.
Can A, you repeat 4, this again?
You've got 4, 6, 8 or 10. A, B, C, and D. You guys ready? Feeling confident? All right, let's see it. So, Nicole says B. Kim says B. Mark says A. I can tell you, somebody is wrong and somebody is right. The answer is indeed 6. B.
Oh,
yes.
Kim, high five.
Let's count them off, folks. Let's count them off. PS1, PS3, Sega Saturn, PSP, PS Vita, and Xbox 360. Huh. And Tiger handheld version.
But not that Tiger thing.
Damn it.
Not the tiger uppercut.
That is.
So if we just update our scoring here. So, Mark, you got 1 point. Fraser got no points because he's Canadian and we didn't allow him on the podcast. Nicole, you got 2 points out of this, propelling you into a tie with Mark. And Kim, thankfully, you also got 2 points, which means you're no longer tied with Gary. Sorry, Gary. Yay. You will probably finish. Well, actually, so an update of the scoring. I'm just going to do this properly because this needs to happen. Mark and Nicole, you are both at 4 points, tied for the lead. Fraser and Kim tied at 3 points. Very close race here now. Then in the second to last place is Gary Lever with 1 point, beating Robin Tate, who is still sitting at zero. Fairness to Robin, he has hosted the podcast
for a
number of weeks. So thanks.
Yes, he said that was his excuse.
Right, right.
Yeah.
If Gary should beat Robin for the entire season,
it's still zero.
I will send Gary something and probably send Robin something. He probably will not appreciate what I send him.
A wooden spoon.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Jason Johnson, for sending the trivia in. He is our trivia master, after all.
Mm-hmm. And he said he was wearing his shirt.
Yes, he
has. And it looked fantastic. Yes. I'm also wearing my shirt, Gary Lever. No friendo.
Yeah. I'm also wearing a shirt, but, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing a shirt.
Would you like to? By all means, stand up then, Nicole.
No, I'm wearing a tank top. That's the tank top.
All right.
I'm in my PJs. I don't feel good.
Well, maybe this will make you feel good, Nicole. Do you want to really read the new releases, or would you like Kim to read them? How's the voice feeling? Do I need to put my credit card number back in?
No. Oh, my God. I'm going to read the new releases.
Let's do that.
Yeah, okay. There's a couple of them I couldn't pronounce, so.
Well, that doesn't mean I'll do any better. I'll just sound awesome doing it.
There you go.
No. New releases for February 13th through 19th, really? I'm going to guess that's a yes, Greg.
Yes.
Yes. So they've remastered The Ship for PC. That comes out February 15th. The Escapists, The Walking Dead, PS4 on the 16th. Layers of Fear for the PS4 on the 16th.
That's it. Oh, come on. Yeah. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Do it.
Oh, I would, except that all of a sudden I am at the very top of the notes. Hold on. I have my phone. What in the hell? Okay. What is that? Mitsurugi. Okay. Mitsurugi Kamui Hikai.
Bless you.
Sounds good to me. I know. yeah, for PS4, Pillars of Eternity, The White March Part 2. None of these games like are ringing any bells. Project X Zone 2, Rainbow Man. Moon, a Rainbow Man, or the Moon.
Rainbow Man. Moon.
Wow, I can read. I really can. Street Fighter 5. Why does it have a slash R for Tron? Tron Run slash R.
Tron Runner, maybe? Run.
Maybe that's Runner. I don't know. And then beginning on February.
And froze right there. Bam.
Yep.
On February 17th, Californium will be coming out.
Californium?
Yes.
And Rocket!
Rocket League! you're freezing up on us a little bit there, Nicole.
I did not freeze.
You did freeze.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to say.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Rocket League. We're at Rocket League. Do you want to keep going? Are you hearing me, Nicole?
Yeah. Because I'm all excited about Rocket League.
Then do a dance.
I did. I was like, yay.
That was for those who were on the ball, the intro music was Rocket League's theme.
Yes.
Yeah, because I was excited they're doing like a Halo theme and a Gears theme for the vehicle or something, which I thought was bonus. So, all right, beginning on the 18th of February, Cities, Skylines, Snowfall Expansion, Devil Daggers, Hero and Daughter, Fire Emblem Fates Birthright.
And these are all coming to the 3DS.
Yeah, right. 3DS is Fire Emblem Fates Birthright and Conquest for February 19th.
And then Game of the Year after that.
The 19th. And that will about do it.
All right. Did you call Wondershot? Because we didn't hear Wondershot, but Wondershot is Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes, I did. I did call Wondershot. I did not call it Game of the Year.
No, you should have. Absolutely going to be Game of the Year. You book it right now.
Fight me.
All right. Moving on. Ongoing.
All choked up.
Yes, ongoing games. Look. Do we care about Clash of Clans or Boom Beach anymore?
No.
No, we are killing this off. We don't care about it anymore. If you want to play these games, go find someone to play these games with. our fearless leader, by the way, the Canadian, he had stepped down. Once he stepped down, it really kind of fell apart. It's all Fraser's fault. Racing-wise, if you like racing, there's a bunch of stuff going on in the G4T community. There's different racing leagues that are happening. So in February, they're doing Indy Cars racing on Wednesdays between 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. GMT. And then also there's the WEC League, which on the first Monday of each month, so this is going to be a very extended campaign and league, you can basically race with the team, and that is basically... Either go to our G4TE Facebook page or contact at the Henwood on Twitter or at ParsnipNose3000. And either one of those fine gentlemen can help you get hooked up to race with us. I'm actually going to be doing the WEC League. First Monday of each month doesn't feel that daunting to me. So I should be able to participate. We'll see. We are epic. This is our video contest. It's pretty straightforward. Make a 30-second clip of a video game of something epically awesome or epically failing. You know, we're looking for entertainment value here, folks. So record that 30-second video. Post it up on our Facebook page. And you just it's super easy to get to. Go to your browser. Type in epic.g4te.com. That takes you to our Facebook page right where you need to post. Post that video up. And if you are lucky and it's deemed to be epic enough, you will win $20 in Space Bucks, whether it be Steam Space Bucks, PlayStation Now Space Bucks, or Xbox Live Space Bucks. But it's free bucks, 20 of them to be exact. You can also, of course, contact bongo@g4te.com. That's his email, and he will hook you up and get you into the We Are Epic contest as well. Mark, I'm going to have you read the victories achieved.
Yeah, Victories Achieved is another contest we run, which is quarterly. Basically, what you do is when you finish a game and the credits are rolling on the screen, you take a selfie of your face and no other body parts, hopefully, with the credits in the background. And then you tweet that, the picture of it, with the hashtag Victory Achieved to @g4t.com on Twitter, which is spell the dot G4T.com. And the victories achieved this week are John Mouse has finished Batman Arkham Knight. Amras89 finished Nightmares from the Deep 2, The Siren's Call. Adamski, Kyle Adams finished Unravel. Real Kahuna finished Halo 5 Guardians. Caliburn M finished Mad Max. Teflon 12 finished Rise of Tomb Raider. Stan Mu, which is Fraser Mu Jr., finished Castle Crashers.
Well done.
Amros89 again finished Rise of a Tomb Raider. And for all those people, this is just for you.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved. So the funny part of that, Mark, I was actually going to say, and if you finished any of these games, and when you finish a game, this is what I want you to hear in your head, and I was actually going to sing that again. But you took you did it perfectly cued. So yes, when you finish a game, I hope that that's the song that sticks in your head moving forward. I will haunt you in your sleep. All right, we also have this thing called a completion chart. Bongo the Sane, he just loves doing stuff. He loves doing complicated things, apparently, because this reads out like a full-on like math quiz. He is running a completion chart from now until the end of time or end of the year. And basically, finish a full game over 5 hours, Gary Amrus. So that's, you know, and if you are curious to know if it's listed as a 5-hour game, go to the site howlongtobeat.com. It is not a porno
Don't
site.
Don't mistake that for howlongtobeatoff.com.
Right. Yeah, exactly. howlongtobeat.com.
It's a completely different website, trust me.
And if it's 5 hours or more, you will get 1 point for that game. If you finish a short game, if you're a shorty, then that would be considered like indie, long DLC, you know, so the Witcher DLC would be considered part of this. Although, actually, I think you could probably make the case that should be considered a full game, Witcher DLC, because it's like 20 hours. Anyway, iOS games or any game that Gary Amrus plays, that is worth half a point. And for every full point, Bongo the Sane will donate or steal $1. And that's going to go to extralife.org. So he's hoping.
That's quite a big. That's a bold statement. That
It is a bold statement. Well, he does make a lot of money peddling ice cream.
Yeah, the dude. He is.
I mean, he
does all right, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's driving that cart all over Ireland. I mean, and you know, he's finally actually upgraded
he's
from
have
the
buns
bicycle.
Of steel.
Yes. Well, he actually upgraded from the bicycle. He now actually has a little van. So between kidnapping kids and giving ice cream away, he's doing all right. So 52.
We're only into I can say we're only into the second month of the year. And
yes, he's already.
52, there's 52.
Yeah, $52 towards the kids. That's okay. That's 52 completions for $52 for the kids, and of course a custom Overseas Connection T-shirt and mug for the winner of the completion challenge. So right now, Amrus 89 is in the lead with 9 half-point games. 9 points. That's 18 half-point games that he's completed. RCGC Sarah has 5 points. Companion Cube has 4, as does Caliburn M. Caliburn M also at 4 points. Colin for the win and Adamski 86 both at 3 points. So there you go. Get in there and start getting your completion games into Bongo, and maybe you can win a T-shirt and a mug.
Can I just say as well, when I tweeted that I finished Diablo 3 on the Xbox One last week, and I got a sarky comment back from Bongo with the hashtag about time.
Yeah.
That is the second time I finished it. I actually played it. I put tons of hours into the PS4 version and completed that ages ago with loads of different characters. So, yeah.
Robin's a little bit sarky. You know, he's a little bit snarky.
Yeah, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It loves it, doesn't it?
And I also noticed your name is not up here on
I'll
the completion list, by the way. I think you should file a complaint.
It was last week, I think. No, I think I got a mention last week.
Yeah, but where's your name? Are you on the list? Are you in there? Is he only doing, 3 points or
more? Well, I've got one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah.
One more than I've got, Mark.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to be part of the conversation, doing what we're doing right now, laughing, joking, reading off what you're putting in our Twitch chat or chat, it's super easy. Come in Saturdays, get in front of your computer or your favorite mobile device that can play Twitch, and just type in live.g4t.com in the internet browser, and it'll take you right to our Twitch page. And if you're old school and you're like, I don't want to do these subdomains because I'm anti-subdomain, I was one of those people for a long time. Ask Dorian. You can also just go to twitch.tv/G4TE, and that will take you to our Twitch page as well. And we're here every Saturday, roughly 3 o'clock. Pacific and 11 p.m. UK until the time changes and it screws everything up. If you're in between those time zones somewhere else, like Missouri or I was going to say Arkansas. Carolina.
No. I would have come up there and beat your ass.
Anyway, if you're in a different time zone, there's a thing called Google. It'll help you out. You can email the show if you want to. You don't have to. We talk regardless. But you can always email us, podcast@g4te.com. You can tweet us, @OC_podcast. No guarantees we're actually going to read the tweets, because I don't think we've read tweets off on this show for a very long time. But we have a lot of conversations with our podcast tweets, so definitely take part in that. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And if you are on the elderly side, then clearly you are part of Facebook, because that's what we all do. So Facebook, that's our thing, fb.g4te.com. You can actually get connected up to a lot of cool people. Everybody in this room here except for me, they're all part of that. I check Facebook like every third week. It always kills me. People are like, didn't you check your Facebook post? No, I didn't. Fuck you. I don't care. And then I go crawling back to Dorian. Where do I find it on Facebook about the racing leagues? Because I don't know. We have a prize fund. We do not ask for money from anybody. But if you ever felt like, you know what, hey, I got a couple bucks sitting in my pocket in my PayPal account, and I'll throw it your way, donate.g4te.com. It goes to our prize fund pool.
Prize fund pool.
Yes. And that all goes back to the community. So it's not something
every
we're pocketing.
Penny goes back every into penny. Yeah, the victory achieved and the epic prizes and the GameScore competitions we run.
Yes. Then, of course, you know, iTunes reviews, that kind of thing. That's always helpful. It just gets us more visibility. So do those at your leisure. And I think we're at the end of the show. So let's do some shout-outs and get out of here. Kim, let's start with you. Sandwich in the middle. You're the cream filling of the Oreo sandwich. Although, in this case, it's not really an Oreo sandwich. It's like cream on cream on cream. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, alrighty then. Kim, just lead us out, please.
Jeez, I don't know what to say about that one now. I'd like to thank our lovely chatters and our lovely viewers and the people that listen to us on a regular basis, and like me, sad. And, you guys for having me on here another week and haven't kicked me off yet, so that's always a plus. Finding reasons to bring me back, you know.
We haven't found the medication to get you to go away.
I was gonna say, there must be some reason, you know. And anyway, that's it for me. So everybody stay warm and toasty out there. And how about you, Mark?
I want to shout out Womble for all the shockingly terrible chat up lines he's been posting all night long. I want to shout out Duke Scaff for a movie recommendation he said on his podcast a few weeks ago called Predestination. Absolutely amazing film. Very, very sort of like mind-bendingly complicated time travel paradox type film, but absolutely brilliant. And I want to shout out Gary DeFelici, because his team won the Super Bowl, apparently, Greg. But the main reason I want to shout him out is his Xbox One died, and he's had some pretty shocking service from Microsoft Customer Services, and he's not one happy bunny at all.
You know why? Because they're all a bunch of Seattle Seahawks fans, and they know he's a Broncos fan.
I think he's done with Microsoft. I think his Facebook post was something like, fuck Microsoft. So shout out to Gary. So I'll take it he won't be playing the Division with us, Greg. He'll be on the PS4 version.
Right. I would anticipate that would be the case. But then again, this is a guy, he probably, you know, has been out of warranty for over a year, and he's pissed off that they're not wanting to do warranty repair.
It's only just over a year old, because he got it for the kids for Christmas last year, apparently, so it's not that old. So, yeah, I do feel for him, but...
I don't feel for him
So, yeah,
at all.
Over to...
I don't feel for him at all. Love you,
over
Gary.
Over to Nicole.
All right, so since we didn't get a chance to list the shatters, I'm going to list them and thank them for being in the chat. We had Bongo in there, and that says Bert Hab, I don't know, Dirthead, Fraser Moo, GG, I'm skipping over your name, sorry. Ginge was in there, Martin One, Step J, Teflon, Womble. We had a little Foo. We had all kinds of good people. So, and we appreciate every one of them except for Foo, because he's Canadian. I think that's how that works.
Damn, yeah, yeah. We do appreciate Little Foo, if Little Foo was in there, but Big Foo, I'm not a fan of Big Foo.
Pretty sure it was Big Foo. So, but, and everybody that, you know, finds us on Twitter, which you can find me on Twitter at @OC_Amaryllis, and on Xbox and as Amaranth. I had to think about that for a second. And on PS4 is also as Amaryllis. So, Greggy, get us out of here.
I would like to shout out my football team. They are staying in San Diego, at least for another year. Suck it, Gary. You suck. I hate you. I love you. I want to shout out the three of you for making the show. It's been great podcasting with you tonight, as always. I want to shout out, of course, as we said earlier, all the listeners. I mean, you know, you really do kind of make this all work with your support, with your feedback. We have a good time with this. I think outside of shouting out the flu... go forward, have a great week, come back next week, we'll be here, hopefully you will too, and thanks for listening, and I think at this point, Mark, we can cue up some music.
Yep, here we go. And this is for Valentine's Day for tomorrow. This is Nicole's choice, by the way. I'm sorry.